listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey guys, as you can see, we didn't do a live show tonight. Mm-mm. Okay, but we are still here. That's right.
Yeah, we had to get our chakras in alignment.
This is the Black Guy Who Tips with Rod and
Karen,
and we are here, not live,
not live,
to give you guys something special though. So if you guys know, we've kind of restarted, rebooted, reimagined the Lip Smacking Good spinoff podcast.
Yes,
is normally behind a paywall. You know, deservedly so. I mean, it's a very fun show. But we're gonna actually give all you freeloaders a chance to hear what goes on behind a paywall with Karen's very popular, highly rated food culture show.
Yeah,
Lip Smacking Good,
and 100% more Rod.
And now with 100% more me, because I'm also on there doing a little bit of talking. So yeah, hopefully you guys will enjoy it. The format is pretty simple. Karen does an intro. We do a little bit of talking about, you know, meals of the week, food that we ate. I know you guys always see us thirst trapping on the ground.
I know, with the food pics, and then we talk about spicy news.
Right, and then after that, we get into Karen does an interview, and this one was with Adrian Miller, the soul food scholar.
Yes, it was a fun interview.
So hopefully you guys enjoy this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. You know, sorry we had to get our chakras in line.
And yes, we did. The power actually went out, y'all. We were sitting here, and the power said, "Jew." I was like, "Uh-oh." Because I was about to ask him, "You want to do the show?" The power was like, "Nah, nigga." And it was still raining and lightning. I was like, "Is the power going to go out again?"
And I got up at 4 a.m., really, to go play ball at 5. You know, which is my responsibility to the greater Charlotte metro area, because... What a lot of people don't know is every time I play basketball, the crime rate goes down, Karen.
Okay? Why? Because there's nothing else to do, Sal.
There's nothing else to do. When I traveled this morning, I took a left step. That was for the sun. I took a right step. That was for the Holy Ghost. And then I stepped forward. And that third step, that was for him. And then they called travel. And I said, my bad. Also, this episode is sponsored as well, guys. I'll put it in the show notes. But in addition to y'all getting the sweet ass free premium Lip Smacking Good.
Yes, with the new theme song.
With the new theme song all throughout it. It's a jam. It's a bop. It's everything.
Yes, it is.
But in addition to that, you're also going to be able to get 20% off of some pretty stylish, athletic, and casual wear from Avery J Clothing. That's right. Today's show is sponsored by Avery J Clothing. That's AVERIJ. Okay. The dash J. They specialize in stylish, casual, athletic apparel for everyone. Whether you're going out on the town or just getting down at the gym, look your best with Avery J Clothing. Their website is AVERIJ-clothing.myshopify.com. But I'll put the link in the show notes so that it's very simple for you guys to just click on it and go to it.
And I have some stuff, y'all. It is super fly, particularly for those of you that like yoga and you don't like to be showing your midriff. It actually covers your whole body. Hey, but I done got grown now. Sometimes I take my top off and we just have to see the rolls and then deal with it in the yoga class.
Yeah, but when you don't want to show the rolls, or if you just want to be, you know, comfortable in some nice gear going to and from,
looking sexy,
they got some nice clothes for men and women, ladies, men, everybody in between. All kinds of style.
You're gonna have people gonna be like, where you get that from?
Yeah, a lot of people just specialize in like shirts and stuff, but they have yoga pants, they have everything. So in addition to all that, for a limited time only, they will give you 20% off if you use code TBGWT at checkout. 20% off. That's Avery J Clothing. Avery, AVERIJ-clothing.myshopify.com.
And
the link will be in the show notes.
Yes.
All right. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get right on into Lip Smacking Good. All right. So until next episode, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Lip Smacking Good, where the motto of the show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. And I know y'all was jamming to that new intro song we got, because honey, I was clapping my hands and bopping my beat to, bopping my head too, because honey, it is a bop. So I thank you, everybody, the people that's been around for a long time and new fans to the premium. I'm glad you're here and we're ready for a ride. On this episode, I talked to Adrian Miller. He's a soul food scholar. I had such a ball with him on this interview. We talked about him being a lawyer, a barbecue judge, and y'all know I'm from the South. I love some barbecue. So we went through like how it is to be a judge, the different types of barbecues, how it is when you're a judge, what are you looking for, and you know, what kind of education do you have to be certified for that. So we went through that with him, and he's also an author. He the book that he wrote, he went through all of the cooks and chefs for all of the presidents up to Obama. And so it was I had a great time picking his brain and a lot of historical facts about people. And you know, we talked about some of them being slaves and the black people, and so it was really, really fun. And we talked about so much more stuff, so we have a fun packed episode for you guys. And also the next thing we're gonna talk about, y'all, I told y'all we're doing this segment thing happening here. You know, this is new for everybody,
and I'm here.
Yeah, so you know, you got 100% more Rod every episode now. So he's here with me. So we got segments now. So we're gonna do meal of the week, and then we're gonna do that spicy news. Yes, and then we're gonna do the interview. So sit back, enjoy the ride, and welcome to the brand new formatted Lip Smacking Good.
All right, let's talk about our meal of the week. Meal of the week, feel like meal of the week should have music.
All right, we got to get a song.
Right, but meal of the week, look, we're so greedy, and it's been like 3 weeks since we recorded.
I know.
We had like 3 different meals, y'all.
I know. We was trying to, should we do one? How many should we do?
Right, we'll run through these. There were 3 different places. I also like to think that this, for premium folks and for people that are coming to see us live in September, hopefully you guys are getting suggestions of where to go. Now, last time we did Kindred, which is it's out in Davidson. It's like 30 minutes away from Charlotte, but yes, really good meal.
Oh, it's excellent.
And today we're doing 3 other meals. So the first one, we went to Roosters at South Park. Now Roosters is like a chain, quote unquote, but not like a chain as in like a huge big, it's kind of upscale, and it's a bit pricey, you know, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like we spent a grip up in there, but we had a good time.
We really did, y'all.
So I don't remember the name of the drinks we had, but we did have a couple of concoctions, you know what I'm saying. I remember mine had some strawberry in it, it was so good.
It was really, really good.
And like, it's located in South Park by the mall, by obviously by like Cowfish.
Yes, it's actually right across the street from Cowfish,
right? Sushi Guru, which is another place we love to go.
I about to say, that one might be coming up soon too.
Yeah, that might make a meal of the week one of these days. So yeah, it's so good, but the drinks were delicious. I don't think you can go wrong with any of the drinks.
Mm-mm.
And the way they do the menu is very simple.
It is.
You don't get, it's not a ton of choices. Not that you're at want for like choices, but there's not a ton of choices, and it's not separated into appetizers and everything else. Like, you know, most menus have like appetizers, salads, sandwiches. So they kind of do almost like tapa style,
right?
You can order something, everything is kind of appetizer size, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Although some things are more like price for meals, you know.
Yes.
And we've gone there several times. But I'll go down what we got. So we got fried oysters.
They were very good.
Now, the reason I really wanted these fried oysters is because we had them fried oysters at Kindred.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so good.
Yes.
They might be the best fried oysters I've had in my life.
Agreed.
And then, but then these, I was just fiending for, I said, well, I normally don't get fried oysters.
Mm-mm.
Let me see what y'all working with. And theirs was more of a traditional fried oyster.
Right.
With like tomato, kind of like cocktail sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Sausages, I don't know. It was sauce-ish, and not by ish, I mean ISH. Like it was not cocktail sauce, but it tasted a little marinara cocktail saucy.
Right.
Anyway, they were excellent though.
Yeah, they were good.
They weren't as good as Kendra's though. You know? I also had soup. They had some tomato bisque. It was Noble's tomato basil bisque is the name of the soup. Delicious.
It was very, very, very good.
It was thick and creamy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about it, but it just something about that thick and creaminess of soup that I really enjoy.
Yeah, not like, I like me a good tomato soup, but I like me that bisque because it's thicker.
That, and I like tomato soup. For a long time, I didn't eat tomato soup because I thought tomato soup was Campbell soup. Like, you know, not that kind. And then you realize that tomato soup is actually fucking flavorful and actually delicious. And once you start adding spices and blending, and you be like, oh, this shit is flames.
Mm-hmm. So we had that tomato soup that was tomato bisque was good.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, one of the nothing here is quote unquote cheap necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like I don't mean that in the pejorative way, but like less expensive, I guess.
Yes,
they have this dish, pan fried corn. It's just corn. It's fucking delicious. I don't know if
I don't know what they did to that corn, if they soaked it in butter, I don't know, but that corn that corn was flames.
It was flame emojis. And then I had the duck breast for my like main meat of my meal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat duck typically, and I normally it's normally so expensive on most menus.
Yeah, and a lot of times depending on how it's made, I realize duck can be a very oily meat, a greasy meat per se.
Mm-hmm.
And if duck is done right, it's actually really, really, really good. I think one time I had like some duck tacos, it was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
To piggyback on that corn,
yeah,
when they deliver it, they put it in these little small skillets.
Yeah, they're like these like pans, literally. Yes. These small like iron layer like skillet pan type things, like oh, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Now this duck, and the other problem with duck is if it's not too oily, it also has a tendency to be too dry.
Correct.
So like duck has like this really finite range of like when it's delicious and when it's not.
Right.
And so I normally don't order duck because nothing's worse than spending too much money to get some shit that you like, oh come on, like,
right,
this is like, and because I don't eat it a lot, it's like, is this how it's supposed to taste? I'm not a fancy person.
Right. I don't know.
Anyway, so they bring this duck out and it's got like some, I think it's like called confit or whatever, but it's almost like jelly.
Yes.
And nigga, you put you like it's all pre-sliced for you.
Mm-hmm.
You take a slice of that duck, dip it in some of that confit, and then there's like some little sauce on the plate too.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all will see in the pictures we post, but absolutely every time, yes, it was so good.
It was delicious, y'all.
Falling off the bone duck. It was duck breast, by the way, so no necks or
or feet,
no eyes, no duck bills on our plates. Okay.
Yeah, we went staring at the duck.
Karen, you ordered the boneless pork chop, right?
Yes.
What'd you think about it?
It was really, really good. I'm a sucker for a pork chop. Roger, no, I'm a sucker for a real good pork chop. I like the thick pork chop, like the pork chop steaks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I order those. I like my pork chops I'm old, you know, like I say, old country black woman. I like my pork chops either baked or like pan fried. I like, a lot of times I like them, depending on a lot of times where you get them from, they smother them in a form of a brown or a white gravy. I like white gravy on, with my pork chops. A lot of times they chop up onions and things like that and smother it across it and make it thick and bake it, and then you chop in it with a knife.
Right, but what about this one though? What'd you like about this one? Cause you just talking about other pork chops that would not here.
No, I'm sorry. They wouldn't hear. But yeah, I'm a sucker for a pork chop. So I was like, I wanted to try it, and pork chop is similar to what you said with duck. Pork chop has that, particularly the thicker ones. It has that range where it's either dry,
right,
or either is not done enough for me. Because it's particularly when they're thick like that, they meant like a steak. But they took this and they sliced it down.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
It was perfect.
So good. Where it wasn't too dry. And I think they had like a little sauce that they drizzled across it. Mm-hmm. And you like dip it in the sauce. It was very, very good. And it was actually, I didn't need a knife. You basically take it and break it with your fork.
Yeah. That pork chop was so damn good. Mm-hmm. It was really amazing. And then, like, it was boneless, which you don't know. I didn't know that when you ordered it. It's like, Heritage Farm pork chop is all it says on the menu. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking of, like, a pork chop with the bone in it. Like, you know what I'm gonna get? But with it being boneless, it actually set it off even more.
Yes.
Because it was just straight juicy.
Yes, it was.
And it had, like, a little tang to it. Like, maybe it was some barbecue or something on it, too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that damn pork chop was falling off the non-existent bone because it was boneless.
The non-existing.
And then the last thing we got, and I feel like we get this every time we go there, but they do the skillet mac and cheese.
Oh, y'all. I can't turn it down. Like every time we go there, we got to order it, because I think that they actually make it per skillet and like throw it in a 500 degree oven and sprinkle some more cheese on top.
Right. It's honestly, it's the one thing you can't. I think you can't miss on this menu. And it comes in its own like little mini skillet, and you just like everything we're talking about is basically shareable for the table.
Yes, it is.
So you know you don't have to order as much as we did.
Mm-mm.
But it's all shareable anyway. So if you do order as much as we did, it's no big. You know, there's no big whoop.
No, it's not. That was a very, very good meal.
And our server was really nice. We had this black girl who was dope. She was having as much fun with us sitting in there ordering and drinking as she was
right.
Serving it.
And the thing is, I really think that a lot of times when it comes to us, particularly me, because I'm just a bubbly, bubbly person. And so a lot of times when people approach the table and they see my bubbly attitude, I could tell that she was like, oh, okay, this is going to be like a good, happy table, because, you know, everybody's just so happy and just so bubbly. So I think because, you know, we were happy, it kind of boosted her spirit, if that makes sense. And mm-hmm. So the whole meal from there on was just happiness.
Yeah, as soon as she saw Karen, she was like, I love your energy and all that stuff. So, you know, that's normally a good sign.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's see what other meals we... Oh, also, behind the scenes show note thing, if you've seen our logo for our live show, that's me and Karen holding up drinks, this is where we took that picture.
Ah, it is.
All right, what else?
Before we go on, this place, if you go in, y'all, they got roosters on the walls. They, like, roosters is, like, everywhere. The first time I went in, I was like, what the fuck is this?
That is true. The next place we went was this place called Ruru's Tacos and Tequila. That's another meal of the week.
Yes, and the thing about Ruru's is that your GPS is gonna take you to the back of Ruru's.
Yeah, if you take Yelp or whatever to get the address, it took us probably just for people that plan on going locally.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down Providence Road, it'll take you to the back of the place. You can park and then you have to walk around the building to the front.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an Italian place over there that was closed at the time we went.
I wanna try
like that. They only do dinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, horrible parking, like as far as directions. Now we went around the building, nigga, it was nothing but parking spaces. Like, you could walk right in. Like, I just, someone needs to change the address.
Right, because wherever it is, it's like the right building, but the wrong side of the building, if that makes sense. It's like, you're here. We're looking at your life. No, the hell we ain't here. Where's here?
Right. Now, Ruru's is like a, it's one of those places where they do like Mexican inspired food. It's tacos mm-hmm. and tequila. It's, even though it's not really a trendy part of town, it's very much a trendy restaurant.
Yes, it is. As far as
the names. And the number one thing that I just enjoyed the most about this, before you get to the food, the fucking names of the food on the menu.
Yes.
Amazing. Like, it was like they made a menu just for my sensibilities, because I'm such a movie buff and a movie quote nerd that I could, like, honestly, I want to go back here. I resisted going back Saturday because I was like, we should try something different, you know, but I fucking want to go back here just to order more, to say the names.
Right.
I didn't even try to play it cool. When it was time to order, I was so excited to be like, yes, let me tell you these names. all right, so I did get some rum punch. They had $5 rum punch mm-hmm. drinks on the weekend. I don't know if it was special for that day or what, mm-hmm. but that shit was delicious.
Yes, it was.
It was delicious.
And I had some, what is this, a frozen
margarita? Was
strawberry margarita, yeah. And they like, everything was like fresh there, and, mm-hmm. and now that was really, really good, because they bring it to you, it's mixed, but then when you stir it, everything actually mixes up really, really good. Oh.
So they sold us on the drinks right away.
Yes, they did, and it was hot that day too, so it hit the spot.
And then we had, for our meal, they have nachos on the menu, which, I mean, yeah, how do you do it? The nachos, I think, were called I'm Nacho Bay.
Yes! And the nachos is a fucking meal by themselves.
Oh, y'all, these nachos were enough for like four people.
Yes.
Like
we didn't know that.
We put like a dent in them, but we didn't like even come close. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think these nachos were the most inspired nachos. Like I think there's a restaurant that we go to as Tekka that has, to me, the best nachos, period.
Them bitches is baked, y'all, and they are fresh.
Yes. These nachos were good. That sour cream, that jalapenos, mm-hmm. all the sauces, all the stuff you expect from nachos. And I think we got them with a little chicken or something on them.
Jalapenos, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was good, but I would not vouch for these nachos, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's hard to actually get us to rank your nachos high. Mm-hmm. You know, very few places have really good nachos.
Next time I will try something different. But because they listen, the menu, I'll read some of the names once we get into the tacos, but the starters, I am McLovin, queso blanco, sea salt tortilla chips, Ma the meatloaf, chunky guacamole, sea salt tortilla chips, let it rain, Ruru's smokehouse salsa as sea salt tortilla chips, and let it rain, I believe it's from Along Came Polly, where that one dude was shooting with no shirt on playing basketball. He always go, let it rain. Three Amigos, Billy Ray Valentine, I'm Nacho Bay, I'm in a glass case of emotion, which is empanadas loaded with chicken, cheese, onions, and tomato, Lighten Up Francis, which is flash fried calamari, sweet and spicy Thai sauce and chipotle aioli. So like, they have some really inspired names, what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say. Now, after we got the nachos, we also had our main meal, which is we ordered some of the tacos off of the menu.
Yes.
You remember which ones you ordered?
Mm-mm.
I actually believe I wrote mine down. Give me a second. I will actually tell y'all. That's how excited I was about these nachos.
I should have wrote the names down.
Listen, I understand, Karen. Okay. And I will put pictures and stuff on the menu up there for you guys. Yes. Yeah, so this is called, I got fired on your day off, which is flash fried buffalo chicken, lettuce, cheddar cheese, and ranch. That one was probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's spicy. and then fat guy in a little coat, which one of my favorite Chris Farley lines. Fat guy in little coat. Cilantro marinated skirt steak, lettuce, queso fresco, cilantro, and avocado aioli. Also delicious. And these tacos run you about $4 a taco. Okay. So, you know, some places they have more cheaper tacos and stuff. Mm-hmm. These fancy little tacos, like you order four or five, you paying about $15 to $16 normally.
Mm-hmm.
I got Why So Serious, which is ground beef, cheddar cheese, lettuce, pico, and crema. And let me tell you something. this little motherfucker is a sleeper, because that's just a regular ass taco if you think about it, like ground beef, cheese, sour cream. It was so good. It was probably also one of my favorites. And then also I got Get Off My Lawn, which was a jalapeno pepper stuffed with shrimp and cheese, tempura fried, pickled cabbage, and salsa roja. Yeah, you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. I wish I hadn't ate so much nachos, because
right,
like I couldn't even really finish my tacos off, but they were all delicious. Mm-hmm. And I was sweating because I had got some hot ones, so I was like, hey, I'm gonna need you to double up on this water. Karen, I think you got, if I'm not mistaken, I think you got, did you get the long duck dong, the duck taco?
I think I did.
Yeah, I know we got, I made sure to get different ones than the ones you got.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got stage 5 clinger, maybe crispy chicken, lettuce, spicy corn relish, pickled jalapenos.
Yes, mine was spicy too.
Yeah, so anyway, you can't go wrong with these. I will post a picture of the of the menu. Mm-hmm. For you guys, because it's honestly so worth the laugh if you're a movie buff. I don't know. Yes. If you guys are movie buffs like us. All right, and then lastly for our meal of the week, we did, what was the last one, Karen? Was it Babaloo's?
Yes.
Okay, so we went to this place called, I believe it's Babaloo's tacos and tapas or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and of course I closed the tab right as I went to talk about it. Yeah, so we went to Babaloo's, and yeah, that shit was delicious.
It was really good. They had unlimited mimosas for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing was, it was brunch.
Yes.
So we got there, what time you think we got
two
there?
Two something,
and brunch ends at 3.
Mm-hmm.
So we had about an hour, we just went ahead and, you know, was like, hey, it's brunch, you guys said.
Yeah, because we normally miss brunch.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we ordered some drinks and stuff. Like I said, like Karen said, she went ahead and got the margarita.
Mimosas.
Mm-hmm. But can you tell them about the mimosa experience? Because it's not your typical, like, champagne and orange juice and that's it.
No, what it is that there's actually a person that has like a cart, and they actually go around to like all the tables, and you can get orange juice, you can get pineapple juice, and grapefruit juice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get champagne, vodka, and I forgot what the other one was.
Yeah, it was champagne, vodka, and some other alcohol. But you pick one of those and then one of the juices.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had like blackberries.
You could do blackberries or raspberries.
Yes.
That they would put in it. And it was really, really good. The first time I did the traditional orange juice and champagne. Mm-hmm. The second time I did, I'm gonna say pineapple and vodka. And, so that was really, 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 really good. He makes it for you on the spot. He has like this little tray that he carries around, and it has like the juices on it, and then it has the glasses on it, and he makes it for you on the spot, and you sit there, and as you eat, they'll roll around with the cart and come back by, you know, would you like some more and stuff like that. So yeah, it was worth it. I had a ball.
Yeah, and it's like $15. So if you order like two drinks, you pretty much already in the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we didn't really come early, and we didn't really come there for the drinks.
Mm-mm.
But you know, it didn't matter. That shit was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And the drink you had was really good.
Yeah, I believe I was trying to think what I had. It might have either been the Paloma, which I think I had the Paloma last time, or is the lemon berry sour. It must have been the lemon berry sour. That shit was amazing.
Yes, it was. It was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It had what was it, lime and
it had a bunch of just sweet and sour in it at the same
mint,
time.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, mint was in it. Mm-hmm. At least I think that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that shit was delicious. Okay, now let's talk about the food. Okay, we on the brunch menu, very simple menu. You have about, I think, a total maybe, I don't know, 9 choices, maybe not even that. No, you actually have a choice of about 6 things. Yeah, okay, so yeah, chorizo frittata, which is basically like a chorizo omelet. Then you have chicken and waffles. We didn't get that, even though I took a picture of the menu and asked everybody on Twitter, like, what y'all think we should get. And people was like, what about this, what about that, you know. Steak and eggs, empanadas desayuno, which we didn't get, short rib poutine, and crab cake benedict. So we got 3 things to split because we wanted to try some of everything. And everything was like $10 about each one, so it's like kind of splitting size, you know. Although once they got there, I was like, these could be meals by themselves.
Wow,
like,
for real though.
Anyway, so we got the chorizo frittata, which was like I said, like a chorizo omelet. It came with guacamole on it, sriracha lime, crema was on it.
They was into the small skillets.
Yeah. What'd you think about this?
It was good. It was really good. It was different.
That's why I was gonna say.
I never really had anything like that before. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it's probably presented in different ways, because some people were saying that they've had it differently, served differently than that.
Yeah.
But this was the way it was served to us.
Because it's almost like an omelet, but not really.
Right.
It's like an egg. It's like egg with stuff in it, like an omelet. But it's cooked on the bottom of this pan, like they didn't really stir it up much.
Right.
And then on top of it, they put like 3 slices of avocado and some tomatoes and some sauce. It was good. But, you know, I thought it was more different than good, because my mouth was all set for omelet, but then I don't feel like I got omelet.
No, we didn't get omelet.
Yeah, and I don't remember if there was cheese on it.
Probably on a top or baked.
Yeah, Chihuahua cheese. So that was a different type of cheese.
Yeah, never
made of
heard.
Dogs.
All right,
Taquito Taco Bell. We had to try the short rib poutine.
Yes,
I mean, the description is everything in the name. It's short ribs. Shout out to Canada, shout out to Shirley and Clove. It's poutine as well, so it was thin cut fries, Chihuahua cheese, Fresno peppers, green onions, braised beef short rib, and a sunny side up egg, which really was 2 sunny side up eggs.
Right.
It was also different. It was also unique. Like,
it was good.
I've had poutine before. We both did it. It's called Duck Rabbit or the Peculiar Rabbit is the name of the restaurant. But I never had it like this with the breakfast twist on it. I think if I could do it over again, I would get it with the egg scrambled with cheese or something.
Versus sunny side up.
Yeah, I don't think I'm a huge sunny side up person. I'm not like repulsed by it, but I think if I had my druthers of eggs, I would go with scrambled. And then you scramble and mix them up into the poutine.
Okay.
With the short rib.
Okay. And you know, and I think the older I get, the more when it comes to eggs, I'm branching out, you know, cause, you know, I'm black. So, you know, the only eggs we usually was like hard boiled or scrambled. And,
right.
You know, you didn't get any other options. You wouldn't know, you got over hard. And that's if,
right.
You know, you knew what the hell that was. You know, most people was like scrambled, you know, with or without cheese. That's as far as it went. So I'm kind of branching out on my eggs. Now I'm kind of realizing, you know, certain things, the runny and the yolk and stuff, is actually pretty good depending on what you're eating.
Yeah. And by the way, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't
a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was spiced up with scrambled eggs instead. But I liked it. I thought the short rib was a little salty.
Yes, agreed.
A little too salty. And maybe that's because poutine is going to be salty with the fries and everything. A little too salty for my blood.
You have a lot going on there.
But, and then the last thing was the show stealer. And I had to try this. The steak and eggs.
They was very good.
Now, if you've been paying attention, a lot of eggs in this meal.
A lot of cholesterol in this meal.
Probably should have went with a chicken and waffle just to mix it up.
I know. I didn't even really think about it. Everything has had some form of an egg in it. We didn't even think about that when we were ordering.
Everything has eggs.
Everything got an egg on it.
But yeah, so the steak, it comes with steak. And then hash browns underneath it.
Yes, the hash browns was delicious. They was like little tiny balls. I can't explain it. They
yes, go ahead.
They were like hash browns, but they was like
really finely chopped,
right? And it was really tiny, almost like bite-sized hash browns.
Yeah, so basically what it comes with is 24-hour marinated skirt steak served with red wine juice, I guess that's some French shit, and two sunny side up eggs on a bed of roasty potatoes. And we just got the egg scrambled with cheese.
Yes,
yeah, that's why I think the poutine would have been better with it too.
Oh, because we didn't know that for mm-hmm. that. Because she asked us how you want your eggs, so right. I thought everything was gonna come scrambled with cheese.
Me too. Anyway, it was amazing. It stole the show. The steak was to die
excellent
for.
You can tell it was marinated for 24 hours.
You could taste it.
Taking my fork and just breaking that steak all up.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the everything and the potatoes were just a delicious thing. If I had to do it over, I'd probably switch up our order a little bit. Like I might not get the frittata and do something like the chicken and waffle instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, I might just eat one of the things as a meal and not split anything.
All
you know?
Right.
Like you can take a bite off my plate, but you know what I mean. But yo, those were our meals. So we wrapped it up. Okay, Ruru's, Roosters. And we also had Babaloo's, and we'll put all the pictures in the show notes for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into our next segment.
So many awesome dishes. Everything tastes so delicious. We are on a mission. Food and knowledge is what we're wishing for. Hope that we can find it. Food for the soul and the time.
Now it's time to get into the next segment of Spicy News. We're going to be talking about the spicy stuff that's been happening around the internet so we can get into all the things that have been going on in the world of food.
And I'm here to deliver the spicy news. It's a spicy.
It's spices everywhere.
All right. Let's see. It turns out, Karen, mm-hmm. in a surprise that mm-hmm. most people didn't see coming.
Okay.
IHOB, you remember IHOB?
Mm-hmm.
IHOB. It was the House of Burgers. Mm-hmm. Apparently, IHOB sold a ton of burgers. Everybody had all these jokes about it and said that it was terrible and no one should do it and they should change the name back.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally was very extremely disappointed that they didn't have like pancake burgers,
French toast burgers,
waffle burgers. What are we doing? Are we swine? You know,
you already got all the ingredients, capitalize on it.
Well, according to Business Insider, their stunt from President Darren Rebelez said it was a huge success. Literally everybody in the world now knows that IHOP is selling burgers. That was a goal. Number one. Number two was to actually sell them. Despite the groundswell of ground beef growth, pancake fiends have nothing to worry about because, you know, of course they changed back to whatever, to the other one, to IHOP. But given that same that time that when it happened,
mm-hmm.
their store sales increased just 0.7% last quarter despite the 400% jump in burger sales. So they sold 400% more burgers.
Ooh.
But the actual total sales are just 0.7% more. So what that says to me is not that people were, I'm not going to eat IHOP, but now I'm going to go try a burger. It's, I go to IHOP, I never order the burgers.
Right, a lot of people don't even pay, they don't even flip to that part of the menu. And actually, menu worked at IHOP, and IHOP actually has a very extensive menu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not funny, the shit is actually good. Like, they got chicken tenders, they have salads.
Yep.
But a lot of people, they stop at, like, the front, and they don't ever look at the other piece. So, like you said, they actually won, because now you're going to have people that actually was like, hey,
mm-hmm.
I think I might try a burger since I seen all the commercial or everybody been talking about it online. So guess what? Mission accomplished. Them burgers moved.
It also shows you how impressionable people are.
Yes.
Because all they had to do was say, we have burgers, and everybody made us think about it, but they went and ordered them damn burgers.
Yeah, they did.
People stopped
even complaining, going, I'm going to see if these burgers is good.
Yelp is adding a new health inspection. Rating to their reviews.
Ooh,
yeah.
How does this work?
It's basically like They have hygiene reports and health inspections, you know, which is done by the state or the local municipality. Mm-hmm. They'll just make this information available on the Yelp app. So when you click on, you know, like, oh, let me check out this, this restaurant, it'll also say, hey, they got a C score.
Yeah, and you should know that. You should know that. And more places that do like these ordering services where mm-hmm. you order like through the app and they go, some people never step foot into these places. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do need to know what their scores are.
Yelp has been quietly working on this new feature in Marin and San Francisco for the past 5 years. They're ready to launch it nationwide and it's called Health Scores. And you can find it right here.
To hear Yelp describe it, there's a buffet of valuable restaurant inspection data out there, and the San Francisco-based company is helping users to digest it all.
Now, some restaurants weren't thrilled with it. If you have a good record, you probably wouldn't mind the extra transparency, but if you don't, you can understand you might not.
Yelp works with a third-party vendor to process data feeds directly from city and county agencies themselves. When the agencies don't provide a feed, robots fan out online to scrape the data off government websites and compile it together. The result on the mobile app is a condensed report, often with just scores and dates. But the desktop site has more info, like the details about the violations. Yelp says when customers see a low score, they don't call the restaurant, they don't click to get directions, and they certainly do not look at the menu. Right.
We do see that consumers use it. They patronize businesses with bad health scores less.
I think it's a good thing. I just want to make sure that get updated information.
Rochelle Gaddy with Santa Clara County welcomes the effort from Yelp. However, for now, Santa Clara County's own app called SCC Dine Out not only has the most current and up-to-date scores, it also has the actual reports with all the nitty-gritty details. Damn. This one talked about...
And the thing is, we recently had some health reports come out about restaurants here in Charlotte.
And then
a couple of them one of them we hadn't went to in years, but then another one we used to go to all the time.
And that bitch closed.
And that shit is closed.
Like, the doors was locked. They got a, this spot is empty sign there.
Yeah, so you think this is a good idea?
I do.
Okay.
I do, because not trying to be funny.
Just kept it to myself.
Oops, sorry.
No problem.
This is how I feel about it.
Just can't believe this.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. If you're feeling tests, keep it on the low. Cause I do want to eat this food in the stove. Oh, baby.
Yeah, you need to let people know. Like, for their own safety, too. Mm-mm. And it would encourage people to motherfucking keep your places clean.
I take the E. coli.
Yeah, you said that till you get sick.
I know.
No.
But yeah, so I don't know. This is obviously a good idea. The more information and the better, you know, it's the pressure, because people might check that Yelp. If they might, even if they walk past that sign, they might look on the Yelp and see like, uh-oh, hold up now.
Right, and that's the thing. And it was a fun, a lot of times people walk into places all the time, and I know it varies per state. In North Carolina, they used to just do letters. Now they actually do numbers. And with the numbers, that make a big difference.
And that's the, and at least they're not putting the detailed reports.
No.
Because the detailed reports, I mean, even for the restaurants you like, it's scary, because it's like, you might have that A, but it'll be like, we found something, something into something, something. You'd be like, ooh.
You're like, ooh, what are y'all doing?
Posting restaurant hygiene scores prominently on Yelp leads to a 12% decrease in purchase intentions for restaurants with poor scores relative to those with higher scores. So, yeah, watch your back. Better be out here treating the people good. You're going to get caught up.
Not only that, that also, not, it probably won't correlate, but that also means treat your employees better so they're fucking clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times that's why you get these badass scores. A lot of times you don't treat people right. You treat them like shit, pay them $2.13 an hour, and then they like, well, fuck you. I'm going home. No, I'm not sweeping this, and no, I'm not scrubbing this.
Mm-hmm. On to some more spicy news.
Let's do it.
A baby was born at Chick-fil-A and now has nuggets for life.
Wow.
That's right. Gracelyn Griffin, who was born in a Chick-fil-A. Apparently, her mom started giving, having contractions the night of July 17th on the way to the hospital. She and her husband, Robert Griffin, not to be confused with quarterback, stopped at a Chick-fil-A to drop off their other two daughters with a family friend. The mommy-to-be was already in labor and needed to use the restroom before heading to the University Hospital in San Antonio, Texas. It was just after 10 p.m., so the restaurant was closed. The couple banged on the glass. They were led into Chick-fil-A just like Jesus in the manger.
Come on.
Mm-mm-mm. And this is the chosen one. That's what it's going to be, the new fable. Jesus has returned. The chosen one is back. It was born in a Chick-fil-A. And the three wives and brought Polynesian sauce.
Come on. Barbecue sauce and honey mustard.
She began to scream, at which point Brenda Enriquez, the store director, yelled for Robert. Brenda told KSAT, "I'm about to dial 911. I opened the door. She just screaming. Robert ran to Fallon from outside where he was sending off the other daughters. At that point, there was no making it to the hospital as planned. Robert told KSAT, "I looked at her. I said, we're going to do it right here, right now." Fallon recalls being in excruciating pain and worried about because she and the baby were both considered high risk during the pregnancy. Dad came through. And managed to deliver Graceland, having no prior medical skills. Wow. How long did it take the ambulance to get there? The baby's umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck twice, but Robert was able to get it loose and save her. Oh my God. These motherfuckers gonna be on TV.
Like a champ.
They about to be on somebody's TV store. In less than 10 minutes, EMT arrived and brought the family to the hospital. So it must have been one of those, like, almost like a sitcom delivery.
Yeah, and you know, and when it comes to, it varies per woman. Because mm-hmm. you have some women, they are in labor for hours. Do you have some women, they like, I was had a few contracts and the baby pop out.
Wow. Well, free nuggets for life.
Shit, the free nuggets for life should have went to the daddy.
Now, how many people you think gonna be sitting in there in the
in the Chick-fil-A? In the
Chick-fil-A lobby just full of child waiting to get some free nuggets. Well, I need some chicken strips. These is twins, okay?
We don't do this for Jesus one time.
Speaking of Chick-fil-A, they are offering now, they're going to test meal kit offerings. So basically, it's going to be almost like Blue Apron, but Chick-fil-A. Yeah. They're launching its own mealtime kits. They'll give chicken lovers a chance to prep their own dishes using the chain's chicken starting August 27th. Available $15.89 each for a two-person serving. Recipes for chicken flatbread, chicken parmesan, Dijon chicken, pan roasted chicken, and chicken enchiladas. Each meal kit would include step-by-step instructions and ingredients can be refrigerated for several days before use.
They're gonna make a killing because you're gonna have the people go like, you know what, let's just order Chick-fil-A like this versus actually going to the store.
Now you can finally get it on a Sunday.
Ain't that the truth?
Now the thing is though, they don't serve all this, do they?
No.
Chicken parmesan, Dijon chicken, pan roasted mm-mm. chicken, flatbread. Like, I don't think these are available. And I would be more excited if they told me, we going to give you a number three. You know what I mean?
No, but they got to get fancy because you're going against the big boys.
I know. You're not wrong.
You can't be like, here's number three with a lemonade.
That's all I want.
It's some waffle fries.
That's what I want. That's what I want to send. Send me spicy chicken deluxe in a box.
I know. Send me a spicy chicken biscuit with an egg.
That's what I want. I'll fry myself.
And some hash browns.
I kind of like, but yeah, I mean, I doubt I'll sign up for this,
But them people, they go, I think that's going to take off. I think more and more places are going to do that because as much as people quote unquote talk down and bad about the box stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a lot of people it's convenient because a lot of people, if they do the box stuff, a lot of them don't go out to eat,
right?
So you know, it's a trade-off. Or either you do the box stuff, guess what, that the money that you would have been spending your grocery store bill, mm-hmm. you've chopped that down, you True. know. And so particularly because, you know, me and you, we do the two people, but a lot, you could do up to four people, so you know, you have a larger family, it's a little bit more that save you some money, and you know, with the step by steps and things like that, you know, you spending, you know, how much a week or how frequently you're going to cook the food because you paid for it,
right? Well, or let it go to waste, right? You up to getting number threes from Chick-fil-A for real.
Come on.
I mean, is the boss gonna open up and say, thank you for coming to Chick-fil-A, how may I serve you?
Right.
Thank you. No, thank you, it is my pleasure.
Yes.
Like, if it's not gonna say that, then I don't know if I want this box. Update: McDonald's pulls salads from 3,000 locations after parasite outbreak.
What's up with lettuce? Lettuce is like trying to kill us. So for real, I mean, it's been the romaine lettuce. All the lettuce is like, aha.
How is salads more unhealthy than the regular McDonald's food?
Come on.
That's I didn't see that coming.
Mm-mm, you might as well go ahead and eat what you want.
They had to pull salads from 3,000 restaurants in 14 states following initial reports. The locations are primarily in the Midwest. Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, Montana, North Dakota, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Missouri. McDonald's said Friday that out of an abundance of caution, it has stopped selling salad greens and was working to get rid of lettuce from those locations and the distribution center. So is that not the lettuce that goes on the sandwiches?
Possibility.
They added it switching to another lettuce supplier to those locations. Check back for more updates.
Right, and I don't blame them, because you don't want people to get sick. So it's like, hey, anybody that had these, you got to get rid of them. And, you know, from what I've heard, it's very hard to go back and trace, you know, where this food comes from and where was it at. A lot of times by the time they got there, they've cleaned it out and gone on to whatever the next harvest is.
And the symptoms were, they last about a week. It includes diarrhea, loss of appetite, weight loss, stomach cramps and pain, bloating, vomiting, nausea, and fatigue, along with flu-like symptoms.
Who wants to deal with that shit for a week?
Man,
and not something funny, when it comes to salads, McDonald's, I've had some of those salads. They're not good. Like,
right.
I've tried to go, I don't like them little wrap things. Them shits is nasty. Mm-hmm. I go to McDonald's, I'm like, fuck it, give me the Big Mac and what the fuck I want. Why am I going to eat healthy and this tastes nasty?
Now, our final segment is a bit of a surprise to Karen. In our spicy news, well, it's not a segment, but I found an article. I saw this article and I said, okay. So everybody knows, as white women of color, we love pumpkin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this article on delish.com by Tess Coleman called, "Hey, just wanted to alert you that the existence of this extremely cheap pumpkin wine, that exists." And I had to go buy some. Okay.
Oh shit! Now.
Yeah. So this is called Three Lakes Winery Pumpkin Semi-Sweet Pumpkin Wine. Would you like some?
I would, and it's a white wine too.
As you can hear it pouring in the glass. All right. Your cup is right there. I'll hit you up, player. Say when.
That's enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so I thought we have a little wine tasting live on the air, okay?
Okay.
Roses are red, violets are blue. It's very important to consume pumpkin flavored things at all times of the year, if possible.
Oh, yeah.
That's the poem to start the article. Let me taste some. Oh. Oh,
that
bitch,
is
that's good.
Delicious.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's good, y'all. My first time having pumpkin, wine. That's delicious.
Yeah, Three Lakes Winery. They didn't sponsor this. TLWinery.com is the website. This pumpkin wine is $12.95. So it didn't cost much at all. They shipped it across the country. Got here in a few days. And I said, you know what? This would be a great way to top off the spicy news with a little wine to sip it down, wash it down.
That is really good.
And it's funny because I looked for pumpkin flavored wine so long, y'all. It's crazy. I was looking for on Triangle Wine Co. website. I did find some good pumpkin flavored ales, but I never found pumpkin wine. And I bought them, they're in there. But I never got the pumpkin wine. I had pumpkin cider, everything. Pumpkin wine apparently is fucking hard to find. And this wine is sweet.
Yes.
And it's refreshing.
It is light.
It tastes light. And worth every dollar of the $13 plus shipping that it costs. So pumpkin wine, y'all. That's how we end the spicy news today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with another List Smacking Good soon. Karen, we're going to cut to your interview next. And thank you for letting me hang out with you.
No, thank you. This has been fun.
Karen is our guide. she will help us to
your lips taste smacking.
I have a wonderful guest with me today. His name is Adrian Miller. I am so excited, y'all. He has done so much. And the thing that I really love about him is that when I went to his site, it says dropping knowledge like hot biscuits. And y'all know I'm from the South. I love hot biscuits. So y'all know I was all in. Adrian, introduce yourself to the fans of the Black Eye Who Tips podcast that are listening. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so Adrian Miller, the soul food scholar, and this is going to lose me street cred on the subject of soul food, but I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado. But let me win you back. Let me win you back. my parents are from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and my mom's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. My dad's from Helena, Arkansas. So soul food is the food that I grew up eating. So grew up in Colorado, went to Stanford University undergrad, and then I went to Georgetown Law School. Came back and practiced law in Denver, but it wasn't for me. It got to the point where I was singing spirituals in my office. So
nobody knows the trail I've seen.
And you know what's bad when white people join in. So that's how rough it was for me.
You know it's real bad.
Yeah, but this is not to discourage or disparage any attorneys that might be listening, but it just wasn't for me. So I was going to open up a soul food restaurant in Denver, but then I got a chance to work in the Clinton White House, and I worked on something called the President's Initiative for One America, and it was a racial reconciliation effort. So the wild and crazy idea behind this is that if we just talked to one another and listened, we might learn that we have a lot more in common than what supposedly divides us. So that was a lot of fun. I was at the very end of Clinton's second term, and I was going back and forth to whether I would stay in D.C. or go back to Colorado, and I ended up coming back to Colorado and working for a political think tank, and then I worked for Colorado's governor, a guy named Bill Ritter Jr., and then I got a job with the Colorado Council of Churches, which is my current job, and that job is really just bringing churches together to do social justice work. But all along, I've had this interest in working on food history and writing books about food. So I wrote a book about the history of soul food called Soul Food, The Surprising Story of an American Cuisine, One Plate at a Time, which won the James Beard Award in 2014 for Outstanding Scholarship and Reference. And my second book is called The President's Kitchen Cabinet, The Story of the African Americans Who Have Fed Our First Families from the Washingtons to the Obamas. So it's a history of African-American presidential chefs. That book was nominated for an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Literary Work Nonfiction. And I'm just getting started on my third book on the history of African-American barbecue culture, which is tentatively called Black Smoke. That's tight, huh?
Yes. Yes.
That's me in a nutshell.
I am here for this. You're also a barbecue judge. How did you get into that?
Oh, that's great. So when I was writing the soul food book, I noticed that a lot of black-run soul food joints have barbecue as an option, and then a lot of black-run barbecue restaurants have soul food sides and desserts. So I thought learning more about barbecue would help me out. So just by chance, the newspaper had an ad for becoming a barbecue judge at an Adams County Fairgrounds outside of Denver. So I went there, walked into a room of about 70 people, and the first thing I noticed is that I was the only dude under 250. So I knew what my future was going to be like. But what they do is they run you through the logistics of a contest. So they say these are the categories, pork shoulder, pork spare ribs, beef brisket, and chicken. This is how you judge based on taste, texture, and appearance. It's a 9-point scale. And then afterwards they go through some kind of the arbitrary rules of the society that's putting it on. So for instance, I became a judge in the Kansas City Barbecue Society. So one of their rules is that you can only present your barbecue on three types of lettuce: green leaf lettuce, flat leaf parsley, and cilantro.
Oh.
So if you made the best barbecue in the world and you presented it on collard greens, you'd be disqualified.
Wow.
Yep. And then they bring out food, barbecue, and have you score it just so you get a hang of it. And then they bring out something purposely illegal just to see if you catch it. And if you don't, they will say, well, Adrian, you should have noticed this, blah, blah, blah. And then you stand up, you take a barbecue oath. It's a sacred thing that I'm not going to repeat right now. And then a few weeks later, you get your badge in the mail. And then once you get that badge, you can go judge at any sanctioned event under that sanctioning body. So barbecue is like boxing. There's all these sanctioning bodies. So like I belong to the Kansas City Barbecue Society, but there's different ones in different states.
What is your favorite type of barbecue? Because, you know, they're based very differently depending on what region of the country you're in. What's your favorite type?
Yeah, so top three is I love Kansas City barbecue because that's pretty much what I got growing up here in Denver. So pork spare ribs, that's my go-to barbecue. That's the thing that defines barbecue for me is pork spare ribs. But I got to tell you, Texas is gaining on me. I've spent more time in Central Texas and East Texas, and that type of barbecue is gaining more traction. But I still like the pork ribs with the kind of sweet sauce, which is a hallmark of Kansas City barbecue, and then hot links.
Right.
I love hot links.
Right. I know some pork is like vinegar based. Some pork is like mustard based. Not pork, but black barbecue. It's like mustard based, depending on what region of the country that you're in. And when it comes to barbecue, do they get into the different sauces and stuff?
In the competition circuit, or just mean at restaurants?
Yeah, in the competition circuit.
So you are free to do whatever you want, but you have to be careful because you're being judged by a lot of different palates, and so you're always trying to thread the needle. So you don't see a lot of vinegar-based barbecue in competitions because a lot of people don't like that, and so the chances of you getting a low score increase, I think, when you have vinegar-based barbecue. So pretty much people are doing a standard, slightly sweet barbecue sauce, and a lot of competitors don't even put sauce on their meat. They want you to just taste the meat and see how smoky it is and delicious it is. So it's really up to you as a competitor what you do.
Okay, because I know for me, being in North Carolina, when it comes to barbecue, I just like barbecue. I know that might sound silly, but like, if it's good, it's good. I don't care what the base is or what the sauce, like, because I know some people get very territorial when it comes to that. They're like, this is the only kind and this is the only way, you know, that you can make it. What you do in the circuits, does it make a difference when people do their barbecue in like a pit versus on coals versus slow cook? Is there a difference in the taste?
To me, there is, but in competition barbecue, you know, although there's a lot of different contraptions that people use, the thing is that once somebody wins, everybody tries to mimic what the previous winner has done.
Ah.
So you're getting a lot of uniform barbecue. It's not like there's a lot of divergent tastes in barbecue, in my experience, on the competition circuit. Because people are trying to win, and so they usually try to mimic what other people have done. So the taste is pretty consistent. So it really comes down to kind of the seasoning and spices used in the rubs, and if they have a sauce, what kind of seasoning they have in the sauce.
And I know you probably have went to like different types of restaurants. What is one of your favorite barbecue joints?
Oh wow, so many choices. I love a place, this is just coming recent memory. There's a place in Los Angeles, California called Bloodsoe's.
Okay.
And this guy's from Texas, and he had a place in Compton, but now he has, that closed down, but he's got another place in North Hollywood. That was Texas style barbecue that was really good. In Kansas City, I love a place called LC's. You probably hear more about Arthur Bryant's and Gates, which are the legendary places, but I think LC's is really good, especially the burnt ends, which is that charred pieces of brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good. And then in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, there's a place called Dreamland Barbecue. And at Dreamland, when you go in, they just ask you how many you want. And that means how many ribs do you want. And the menu is ribs, white bread, sauce, and then a beverage.
Yes, I love my people. Just simple. We keep it simple.
Yep, very straightforward. So that was really good. And then in Chicago, I just ate my way through Chicago, and I liked a place called Q's Tips and Wings.
Mm.
And they were doing kind of turkey tails and turkey thighs, which is unusual.
Right?
Yeah, and there's a legendary place called Leon's, because in Chicago, it's all about rib tips and hot links with fries and white bread. That's pretty much what people get.
Okay.
So that had good flavor, and a place called Sunny's Barbecue had really good flavor with their rib tips. My only thing about Chicago barbecue that I'm trying to hate on a little bit is in Chicago's South Side, they fry chicken and they cover it with barbecue sauce, and they call that barbecue chicken.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what is up with that?
Normally, when it comes to that, it's some form of a baked, or I've had it smoked, you know, like various
right.
different ways. Oh, so they just cover, they fry it and they just pour the sauce over it?
Right. So it's covered with the same sauce. Like when you get your order as a barbecue in the South Side of Chicago, it's all usually covered with a very thin, sweet sauce. It's almost like a glaze.
Okay.
And they cover everything. They cover the fries, the rib tips.
Oh.
Everything they cover with that.
Oh, what are some sides that you normally see with barbecue? I know most people do slaw. Is there any like unique sides that you've seen come with barbecue?
Yeah, so in terms of unique ones, Memphis has what they call barbecue spaghetti.
Hmm.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So imagine you have the spaghetti noodles, and instead of marinara sauce, you use a barbecue sauce. And then you have grilled meat instead of hamburger. And they mix that all together, and that's a side dish.
Wow, that's very different.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Carolinas, you've got different kinds of slaw.
Yeah.
Like they have a kind of reddish slaw because of that sauce in western North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hush puppies.
Yes, one of my favorite things to eat.
Right. And for those who don't know what those are fried cornmeal fritters, basically. But for most part, you're going to see potato salad, baked beans, slaw, coleslaw. And interestingly, in Memphis, they have a yellowish coleslaw. So they actually put some mustard in their coleslaw.
Okay.
Which is not something you see in a lot of other places.
No, that's not. I've had it like that before. And it's not bad. It's just different.
Right.
Because most people do like a mayo or like if you like a sweet Miracle Whip, you know, depending on your personal preference.
Yeah. And then, you know, in other places, you pretty much are getting, if you go to a Black Run place, you're going to get a lot of soul food sides. So you're going to get some greens, you know, in addition to the other standards.
Yes. And in doing and covering your book about the cooks and the chefs for the presidents.
Uh-huh.
What is one of the most fascinating things that you find out? This thing you was like, wow, I cannot even believe that this would happen.
So a lot of the cool things is how these cooks were often confidants for the presidents and the first families. But one of the best stories that I remember is a woman named Zephyr Wright who cooked for President Lyndon Johnson. The family would go back and forth from Texas to D.C., and they would drive through the segregated South, and she would suffer so many indignities that she refused to take the trip. Mm-hmm. So when Johnson becomes president after Kennedy is assassinated and he's pushing for the 1964 Civil Rights Bill, mm-hmm. he actually uses her stories of segregation to get members of Congress to support the bill.
Wow.
Yep. And then when he signs the bill, he used 72 pins to sign the bill. He gave her one of the pens and said, "You deserve this as much as anyone."
Wow.
Another thing that is fascinating to me is George Washington had an enslaved cook named Hercules. And when Washington was president, D.C. was being built, so the nation's capital was in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And Philadelphia had a law that said if you were an enslaved person on Pennsylvania soil, you were there for 6 months or longer, you were automatically free. So what Washington did to get around that law when he brought enslaved people up to Philadelphia to do run the household is that right around the time the six-month deadline would toll, he would actually pack up all the enslaved people and take them back to Virginia, chill them out there for a couple of weeks, and then bring them back.
Wow.
And he does this throughout his presidency.
Wow.
Yep. Another interesting thing is Thomas Jefferson had several enslaved cooks. So we've heard of Sally Hemings. Mm-hmm. Well, one of her brothers, James Hemings, when Jefferson was minister to France, he actually brings Hemings with him to France and has him trained as a French chef while he was a young man, and installs him as the chef de cuisine for his residence in Paris, brings him back to the United States, and after cooking for Jefferson for a few years, this guy James Hemings says, look, I want to be free. And Jefferson agrees to free him on two conditions, that he teaches other enslaved people at Monticello how to cook, and that he leaves behind his recipes. And he does this, and he ends up being freed.
Wow.
Yep. And Jefferson also had two enslaved women cooking in the White House kitchen, and their names were Edith Fawcett and Frances Hearn. And unlike other White House staffers, rather than bring them back to Monticello during the summer months, he left them there all year long.
Hmm.
So these two black women, they were the assistant chefs to a French guy named Honoré Julien. But they cooked throughout Jefferson's presidency. They stayed there. In fact, there's accounts of their husbands escaping from Monticello, trying to make their way to D.C. just so they could see their wives. But Jefferson would have them apprehended and sent back to Monticello. But after his presidency ends, these two women essentially cook for Jefferson until he dies in 1825.
Oh, my.
So they were the main cooks at Monticello.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stories like that. I mean, I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg.
Wow. And when you sit back and you think about it, I know it might sound silly, but you don't really think about the people that prepare the meals, but you know they're there and you know they exist.
Right. I mean, that was my story because I worked all the time I worked in the White House. I didn't even think about this. And then it was after I left that I got the idea. And I'm like, man, I could have gotten so much scoop.
Yes.
If I had thought about this while I was working there.
That's true. For you, I know you judge barbecue and you've written books, but do you personally, do you cook?
Oh, yeah, I got skills.
What inspired you to cook?
Growing up, my mother worked nights, and so my twin sister and little brother and I would trade off weeks cooking breakfast for each other. Because my mom would get home, you know, a little bit after we woke up for school and had to start cooking breakfast, so it was just easier for us to do that. And so that got me interested in cooking. And then as I got older and more confident in my cooking skills, I sometimes would make something on the weekend just to give my mom a break. But then fast forward, I really didn't get interested in cooking again until I was in law school. And for downtime, I started watching these cooking shows on cable. Yeah. And, it got to the point where I was like, yeah, I think I could make that.
Whenever you are deciding to make a meal, like for yourself, I know you're talking about the cooking shows, but what inspires you to cook? You go, well, that's what I want to cook today because I seen this or whatever.
Well, these days, just because of my schedule and stuff, a lot of the cooking that I do is very quick. So I'm just grilling some fish and making a salad or something kind of like, you know, I try to be healthy, but something, you know, along those lines. My more elaborate cooking is when I cook for other people. So one thing that I'm known for here in Denver is that I offer to cook a soul food meal for 10 people to support a charity. So people will bid on me to come in their house and make a meal. My typical meal is an appetizer of Creole broiled catfish with some coleslaw and then some fried chicken that could be made Nashville hot style, some greens, usually mustard and turnip greens with some smoked turkey, some black eyed peas with some ham hock, some mac and cheese, and then some cornbread. And then I'll usually make a seasonal dessert, usually a summer peach crisp, where it's a combination of peaches and berries with kind of a oatmeal and brown sugar crust.
Hmm. I know that you cover a lot of soul food. Growing up where you grew up, the way your parents cooked, were you looked at as different or other, or did people consider your food strange?
Yeah, so people thought of it as strange because where I grew up, although I was born in the inner city of Denver and lived there the first few years of my life, when I was about 8 years old, we moved out to the suburbs, and so that was predominantly white environment. So there were very few people cooking the food that I was cooking or that I was eating growing up. And also, my mom was a really good cook, so she would make foods from other cultures. So, you know, as much as we had soul food, we were eating Mexican food, Italian food, stuff that people would just consider kind of American food. We were doing all of that because my mom was a really good cook, and she was very versatile.
You know what? The one thing about I've learned about brown people, whenever we cook like a wide range of foods.
Right.
Like we kind of don't, we're not narrow. And a lot of our foods cross, because if you go like through history, you'll find out that Mexican and African foods cross, you know, French and African foods cross. And you really, when you get back down to it, you're like, wow. And still on soul food, what are some vegan soul food places that you've eaten at?
Yeah, so the thing that I trip people out the most on when I'm doing talking about this stuff is the fact that vegan is the hottest trend in soul food. That's where you're seeing a lot of the creativity from chefs right now. So a few memorable places is there's a place called The Seasoned Vegan in Harlem. And one dish that I had was quote-unquote crawfish. And for that dish, there's something called burdock root, which they boil and then they cut in a way that it looks like crawfish. And they put it in this garlic cream sauce, and I'm telling you, you would not know the difference. That's how good it is. Another place is Solely Vegan in Oakland, California.
Okay.
And I remember a dish that I had there, southern fried tofu, vegan mac and cheese, and vegan collard greens with a cayenne pepper lemonade. Yeah, and then you've got Soul Vegetarian in Chicago and Atlanta and Jacksonville. And one thing that I remember there is they have something they call the Marcus Garvey Burger, which is made out of something called kale bone. Okay. And kale bone is something that they created with this restaurant chain.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a meat substitute. But seriously, you feel like you're eating a burger.
Wow, because the thing about vegan, particularly because we're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I don't know if it's just certain places down south, it's very, very hard to find soul food vegan. They have, like, raw vegan places, and I'm a meat eater. And so, but I am open to vegan food. Like I will eat anything, so I'm not close-minded when it comes to it. But I did that raw vegan. I was like, what is this? No, I don't want any of this. I wasn't prepared. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I walked through the door and was like, no.
Yeah, but okay, so did it taste good?
No. And I think that was the – but I think that – because this place is called, like, Luna's Kitchen or something like that. And when I looked, everybody kind of raved about it. But – and I guess because – like, everything is raw and nothing was cooked. So I guess I wasn't prepared for everything just to be raw, you know. So when we ordered, like, I ordered, like, linguine, and it was, everything was raw. And it was, so I guess that part I wasn't prepared for, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't prepared for, I thought something was going to be cooked.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess I've been lucky, because most of the vegan and raw soul food that I've had has been quite good.
And you know what? And the thing is, I think that's why I want vegan soul food, not just vegan, because I think in my mind, I might be wrong, but I think it's a difference, because with the vegan soul food, you're going to get more, in my opinion, spices and flavor. And a lot of food is not going to be bland, because I think that's what it was very bland, if that makes sense. Not a lot of salt, not a lot of pepper, you know what I mean? Not a lot of, spices. So I think that, I like that in my food, regardless of what it is, at least make it taste like something.
Right, because I think the signature for soul food is that seasoning. That's what makes it, that's what distinguishes it from southern food and other cuisines, is the seasoning.
Right, so that's what I was looking for. So I thank you for suggesting that, not only for me, but for the fans that are listening. If y'all are anywhere near any of these places, y'all can go try them out. And I will probably, if I get to Atlanta and some of these other places, I'll start trying them out too. Like I said, I'll keep looking for something here within my city. Like, we have all types of stuff, but when it comes to, like, vegan like I said, you have raw vegan, but I want something more the soul foolish end. So I keep trying about that. What do you think about like the box meals, like your Blue Aprons and your Hello Freshes and things like that? Like, is that something for you, or are you like, nah, I'd rather cook my own meal?
No, I appreciate the box meals, and I've done a few trials with them. I guess my quibble with them is they are expensive.
Yes.
So, and then you have so much extra material left because all the stuff that you use to pack it. Because I'm a guy that tries to recycle, and I try not to send a lot of stuff to landfill. So I just felt like I was getting more and more stuff. But in terms of like Southern meals, you know, the one that's pretty significant is Peach Dish.
Oh, I never heard of that one.
Yeah, they're more Southern oriented. They're based in Atlanta. So, you know, if you like Southern food, I would definitely check that one out. But I have to say, I did Blue Apron for a while. I haven't really done anyone else, but I did Blue Apron, and I was pleased with the type of food I got. I thought it was easy to make, and I thought it tasted good.
How has traveling changed your view of food? Because I know you're naming all these places, but has it expanded it, just made you look at food differently?
Well, I'm definitely paying much more attention to regional differences than I did before. Because, you know, before, the depth of my thinking was, well, does this taste good or not?
Right.
But now I go to a place, I'm like, okay, what kind of greens are they using? Oh, that's the hot sauce on the table. So how do they make their cornbread? Is it a muffin, a square, a wedge, hush puppies, spoon bread? You know, how's the stuff presented? Because I take pictures of my food, so I'm known for doing that. So if you want to get hungry just by looking at pictures, you should definitely follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, because I post a lot of food pictures.
We do too. We started getting into that. Like, as we go out, we just take pictures of like the different types of food we eat. And I think that those things matter. Like, I tried a red velvet waffle, chicken and waffle, and it was actually very good.
Really? Where was that?
Yes, it's I forgot. It's this place here. I can't remember the name of the place, but it's called Terrace Cafe. Yeah,
okay.
Terrace Cafe, and they had red velvet waffles. I say, ooh, that sound good. And it was like, you can put chicken and waffles, and it was good. And the thing is, the the chicken, I thought there was going to be like chicken with like a bone in it. Mm-mm, it was like actually a chicken breast, but the way that they baked it and fried it, it looks like fried chicken, but it's a chicken breast. And chicken breast, it was juicy on top of that waffle, and then they had like a glaze and some powdered sugar. When I tell y'all, that was delicious. That was scrumptious.
Okay. I have to put that on the list because I'm going to be out in Charlotte next February.
It is, I can promise you, it is a lot of places here, various different places to eat here. And I think that's one place. I'm trying to think. It's a place called Zeta's, Zeta Jane's. They're very good too. They're like, I call it like a hippie spot because they're very hippie-ish.
Yeah.
But the food is outstanding. Every time I go there, it is really, really, really good. And so, like I said, we try a lot of different places. One of our favorite places to eat is Cowfish. It's this place called Cowfish here. And they do like a fusion. They do fusion. And so I tell people, if you don't really like sushi or want to start trying sushi, it's a great way to introduce somebody to sushi, because I like sushi, but when I take people there, they have like, you can get like a hamburger, but it's in a sushi roll. So they like roll it up and your hamburgers grind, and they have like jalapenos and things like that. You can get one with pulled pork. You can get one with shrimp, like so they have variations of rolls that are like non-fish based, if that makes sense. And so it's a great way to kind of get introduced to sushi. So I just like that fusion type of feel of that place. So it's definitely one of our favorite places to go here in Charlotte.
Nice. I like Mertz as well.
I don't think I've ever tried that.
Oh, yeah, it's downtown. So I think you should try them. They have an amazing dessert display. Like the cakes that they have on display, you will definitely pause.
Okay, and spell that for me.
M-E-R-T-I-S, apostrophe S.
Okay. I will definitely try it, because like I said, I'm really, really open to like a lot of different things. Like I think within like the past year or so, we really started getting into pho.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so we've been branching out into the different types of noodles. So I started learning about the glass noodles and the buckwheat noodles and the ramen noodle. I didn't know it was so many noodles, y'all. And so, you know, but what I've realized is that the different noodles affect the taste and how easy it is to chew and not chew and all this type of stuff. I had one pho that was made with stew beef, and I was like, stew beef? I don't know. Y'all, it was outstanding.
Mm. Now, do you like to cook at home?
I do. Me and my husband both. I think recently he started cooking a little bit more, but most of the time I do the cooking. So we do like the Hello Freshes, the Blue Aprons, because for us, I know that that's three meals a week that we don't have to say, well, what do you want to eat tonight? I know that might sound crazy. These are three meals. You pick a card. 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. So it kind of simplifies that. But also with what I realized too, with the box meals is that I wish you could get a box meal that was more Southern or more Black. And the reason why I said that is because a lot of these be like salt and pepper to taste. You be like, come on, y'all, like, that you're not asking me to use no thyme, no oregano, you know, no cayenne pepper. Like a lot of it is just based. So a lot of times I'll take the meal and I end up throwing spices that I already have, you know, on top of it. Because if you actually, because my husband made a mistake, he actually did it just like the boxer said, it's nasty. And he said, yeah, I see, you can't follow the directions on the box. Because it just has no flavor in it. And for my personal taste. So I wish that there was like a Black food delivery service that was just as big as these people, that you could actually get it and they would have like all these little spices kind of already in there for somebody that wanted to learn how to cook soul food with simpler instructions.
Yeah. So, you know, there actually was a guy that approached me about collaborating with him on that very thing a year ago, but he just hasn't been able to get it off the ground. So I would encourage you to try Peach Dish, because that's more Southern in focus.
Okay.
So you should check out the menus and just, you know, see if you can get a trial. I don't know if they do trials. I they probably do.
Okay.
But you might want to check that one out.
Yeah, and I don't know who that person is, but I wish him luck if it goes, because there are people that do it, but a lot of times it's in like a centralized area. It's like, you know, it's like within the, like some of the larger cities, like in DC or LA, but they only do in that area. It's like, you can't get it across country, if that makes sense. It's like, I deliver food and I cook the food, but it's only within like a certain radius. So I'm like, oh, I'm too far away. And I think that's part that disappoint me. I'm too far away.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you.
So what is one of the most unique things you've ever eaten before?
I would have to say Kool-Aid pickles.
Wow.
Have you ever had a Kool-Aid pickle?
No.
So here's how you make a Kool-Aid pickle. And this is a delicacy in the Mississippi Delta. You get a jar of already made kosher dill pickles, open the jar, take the pickles out. You can either slice them or poke holes in the pickles. And then with the pickle brine, you make Kool-Aid. And so you just substitute the pickle brine for water in a Kool-Aid recipe, add the sugar and everything, and then you put the pickles back in there, close the jar, leave them there for 2 weeks, take them out and eat them. If you like the taste of Kool-Aid and of pickles, it's just a sweet and sour combination. If you don't like either one of those things, this is one of the nastiest things you'll ever put in your mouth.
I can't imagine.
So, you know, as I was going around the country, because this was a new thing to me, so as I was going around the country, I was asking people if they've ever heard of this. And what a lot of people pointed to is that when they were little kids, they would go to the store, get those huge pickles that were sold on the jar on the front counter. They would cut off the tip of the pickle or bite it off, and then they would stick a peppermint stick down the middle. One of those peppermint sticks that has the hole in the middle of it?
Yes.
and they would let the pickle juice dissolve the peppermint stick, and then they would suck on it.
Wow, what a combo. What a combination. What?
Yep, and people did that with oranges and lemons as well. They kind of used the peppermint stick as a straw. So I think it's all just part of the same thing, kind of kids doing goofy things. In some places, they didn't have the peppermint sticks, so they would put Jawbreakers or Jolly Ranchers, you know, like hard candy, down that pickle and suck on it. So that's thing. Los Angeles gets the prize for the weirdest soul food. So I had a soul food hamburger, and I had a Thanksgiving burger at this place that's no longer open. But here's a Thanksgiving burger. Bun, turkey patty, a layer of collard greens, a layer of cornbread dressing, a layer of cranberries, a layer of sweet potato, and then another whole wheat bun. Take a bite. It's Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving in a bite.
Wow. How did it taste?
It tasted good. Seriously, it just tasted like Thanksgiving.
Wow. That's
the only thing that was, yeah. The only thing that was missing is chitlins. They didn't have any chitlins on there.
They didn't have the gravy.
They didn't have that either.
Okay, I was like, was it a dipping sauce? Yeah, because I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of flavors happening all at the same time.
Yep. And then I went to another place that had a soul food hot dog. So here's a soul food hot dog. Bun, wiener, collard green and cucumber relish, sweet potato puree drizzle, crumbled bacon bits. Slamming.
I'm about to say that. Now that sounds delicious.
Yep, that was really good.
That sounds good. What is your favorite food event that you look forward to every year?
Wow. So I don't go as regularly as I used to, but it's the Southern Foodways Alliance Symposium. So the Southern Foodways Alliance is an organization that celebrates the diverse food cultures of the American South. It's based at the University of Mississippi in Oxford, Mississippi. And so I used to serve on the board, but essentially it's a three-day gathering of food enthusiasts, chefs, scholars, writers, restaurateurs, all kinds of people to celebrate Southern food. There's usually some kind of theme, and the food is just next level at these things. Hmm. Next level.
Ooh, but so how do you get a ticket? Like, do you purchase it? Are you invited?
Well, you know, you can get invited as a speaker, but otherwise you have to sit at your computer and wait for the registration to open and just hope that you can get a ticket. Sometimes the symposia fill up in like 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
It's one of the hottest tickets out there.
Wow. I bet you that probably is amazing to go to. That sounds like that would be like on your wish list of things to do.
Yeah, because it's a fun gathering. You learn a lot, you experience a lot, you meet very interesting people. You have next level food, and yeah, so it's just a very festive environment and occasion, mixed in with some learning as well. And the organization is all about how do we come together through food.
Okay. Yeah, you know, people have a lot more in common when it comes to food than we thing. A lot of times it's the same things, just created differently or presented differently or made differently, or the foundation of it is differently, but it all kind of ties us together.
Yeah, so what's interesting is you start to learn about other people's food and say, oh, well, you know, we do something similar, but this is how it plays out in my culture. Or how you have a common ingredient, but other groups use it differently.
Correct. What is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
Yikes. So, donuts. I love me some donuts.
Any particular brand or kind?
I love the glazed old-fashioned donuts. You know that old-fashioned, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. With the ridges on it?
Ah, okay. So is it closer to... I call it closer to Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme doesn't have one as far as I know. But right. They may have one. But it's like it's a category of donut.
Okay.
Yeah. So that and then In-N-Out Burger.
I've never had that. We don't have one here. At least I don't think we do.
Nah, you don't. They're on the West Coast, and they're in a few other states. I think they're as far east as Texas now, but they're not in several states. You probably have a Shake Shack, right?
And they just opened like one or two here like a month or two ago.
Mm. Okay. And that's a pretty good burger.
They're always jumping.
Yep, that's a good burger. And I guess the other thing is lemon icebox pie.
What is that?
So imagine a key lime pie, except the custard is lemony and the crust is crushed vanilla wafers melted together with melted butter with the meringue on top.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's next level dessert. That's the one we fought over as kids.
I could see that. What is your favorite thing to eat that you do make?
So I just love eating greens and black-eyed peas. I just love those.
Is there a particular way or style that you make them?
So the greens that I make my greens, I've been doing it more with smoked turkey for a healthier feel, but also just at least in Colorado, I'm getting more flavor out of smoked turkey than I do out of smoked pork.
Okay.
Which I said this at a presentation I did in Atlanta, and this guy yelled out, "What's wrong with the pigs in Colorado?"
But, there's nothing wrong with them. We do smoked turkey too, and it actually is the flavor is a different flavor, but it's a good flavor.
Yep. So I usually do mustard and turnip because that's what my mother did, and I create a meat broth. So I put the turkey, some onions, some garlic, and red pepper flakes in some water. Boil the turkey until it's a little tender and kind of flavors that water, and then I put the greens in and let them simmer. And my black eyed peas, similar method, except I use ham hock for my black eyed peas, and I add a little thyme to it as well.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Very
good. What is your favorite food to stash from others? You go, "This is mine and I'm not sharing."
Ooh, what's the circumstances now?
It doesn't matter the circumstance. You go, "This is the food that's mine, and I'm just not going to share."
Wow. I'm a very sharing person, so let's just say, okay, this is going to sound really weird, but those yellow zingers.
Ah.
The zingers with the yellow frosting, I don't have them very often, but when I come across them, I am very covetous.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Like I said, and for me, and you can get them anywhere, but my thing is I love peanut M&Ms. It's one of my, I was a child, it's one of my favorite foods. And I like to take my peanut M&Ms. I like to freeze them.
Freeze them?
Yes. And I eat them out of the freezer cold. One of my favorite things to eat.
Mm-hmm. I have never, ever heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I like the coldness, and then it crunches. And, you know, like when you – so all the chocolate's hard and the nuts is hard, and so it's like a crunchiness to your peanut M&Ms.
Okay, so I just need your permission on something. Do you mind if I throw that out on social media and mention your name? I can leave you anonymous if you want to, but I just want to know if anybody else does that.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, you can use my name, baby. I'm good. Mm-hmm.
All right. I've never heard of that. But I love peanut M&Ms as well.
Yeah, and I've been doing that since I've been a kid. Like I said, it's one, like you say, various different things. One of my favorite things to do, one of my favorite things to eat. What is your favorite thing to drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, or both?
So this has grown on me, but this is something I make now. But I make a hibiscus aid. So it's like a hibiscus drink. So it's hibiscus is a flower native to West Africa.
Okay.
That comes to the Americas during the slave trade. And in West Africa, it's a hospitality drink. So if somebody was coming to your house, you get the hibiscus, add boiling water, and then sweeten to taste, and then serve that drink. And depending on the color, depending on whether you're using fresh flower petals or dried, it can range from being like a reddish cranberry color to a purple color. Mm. So I think this is the basis for red Kool-Aid, because I believe red Kool-Aid is the official soul food drink.
Yeah.
So the one I use, the one I make has hibiscus, water, sugar, or, you know, any kind of sweetener. I use honey, mm-hmm. ginger, and lime.
Hmm.
And you make that drink. What you do is you boil your water, you add the flower petals, the chopped ginger, and sweetener, let it come cool to room temperature, strain it, add your lime juice, and just chill it until you serve. It is an awesome drink.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Sounds like something refreshing, like this time, this is the time of the year you would serve something like that.
Exactly. And if you go to the Caribbean, they call it sorrel, and it's usually a Christmas time drink because that's when the flower blooms in the Caribbean. So yeah, you see it all over the place. And then if you go to a taqueria and have something called agua de Jamaica, which literally means Jamaica water, they're all drinking a West African drink. They just don't know it.
That's neat. Yeah, like I said, you actually gonna make me start digging, and like when I go to places, I'm gonna be like, now what is that made of? What's I'm start asking questions. I mean, like just to kind of educate myself so I know kind of what I'm eating. Yeah, this is gonna make me expand my food knowledge. So
mission accomplished.
Yeah. So I'm really that's why I was like, I just wanted to pick your brain. And this right here is one of my last questions, and then I'll let you go. What is the worst thing you have cooked and or ate?
the worst thing? Wow. You know, nothing's really coming to mind right now. Huh.
So there's nothing you ate where you was like, oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I was trying to impress a woman with this. So I was trying to make a seduction dish. But I made a cream of mushroom with some herb soup, and it was just way too thin. She was being nice about it, but I could tell that it was just not.
it wasn't doing it. Did you not know how to thicken it?
I did it because this was back when this was my early years of cooking. I didn't know all those tricks.
Yeah, I had to help my husband. He had did something and it was watery, and I was like, he was like, but it's water. I was like, give me a few minutes. I was like, I have it thickened up in 5 minutes.
Right. Yep. See, I didn't know those tricks. So I do know now.
Yes. It has been wonderful, and it has been a delightful conversation. I know you're a very, very busy person. So I just thank you that you took all your knowledge and you enlightened me and enlightened my audience. And for those of you that are listening, please reach out to him on social media. Let him know that you have found him through us. And before we leave, could you tell everybody how to reach and contact you?
Sure. So my website is soulfoodscholar.com. And on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's all Soul Food Scholar, all one word. So yeah, I have a fan page, and you can follow me there. And I would love to hear from folks. Right now, I'm working on my barbecue book, so I'm eating my way through the country. So I'm going to Memphis this weekend. But if you want to be a barbecue research assistant, just hit me up.
Hey, shout out to that. Y'all listening, y'all hit him up. So I thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. And for everybody out there in the Black Guy Who Tips podcast land, I thank you. Y'all have a good one. And you know the motto, guys. If your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. Bye. Hi, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the interview that I just did with Adrian Miller. I had a blast. And I'm glad y'all let us entertain you. We have the segments. I hope you guys enjoy the meals of the week, the spicy news that we had. I hope you guys also enjoyed the new theme song. There's a bop. There's a bop about me. I'm not gonna lie. I got my own song. Hey. So, you know, I am here for that. But before we go, we actually got, comments on the page.
Yeah, we got some feedback on Lips Back and Good episode 31, Baking Camp, from, what we're gonna call the Lip Smackers, okay?
Y'all are Lip Smackers.
Y'all are Smackers, and we're getting some feedback from the Smackers. Well, let's get into your comments. GWG says, I love, love, love listening to y'all talk about food. Well, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah, short and sweet.
Yeah, and we will be talking about it.
Yes.
M.W. Williamson says, I really enjoyed this episode, and I can't wait till you guys add the new theme song. If it ain't lip smacking, that song takes you back to when my mom and aunt and even grandma would have a favorite song come on when they were in the kitchen, and they would be dancing around with the utensils and laughing. The jazz music that plays in between segments is also awesome. Karen's interview and Rod reading the news is just excellent. 5 stars all around. Thank you. I'm glad to be here and be able to chip in and help.
Yes.
And CT, Miss CT writes in, I spoke this into existence! 4 exclamation points. Thank you, Karen and Rod, for this episode. I love the descriptions you provide, the new segments, just the feel of the show. This is my favorite premium series. Well, that's alright. Woo-hoo! We're happy to be able to keep bringing it to you.
I know.
Well, until next time, thank you so much, guys, for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to y'all soon when we go on some more food adventures and find more people to talk to about food.
Yes.
All right, peace, my smackers.
Peace.